I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Robert Siegel, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
Children's books are meant to tickle the imagination and, through words and illustrations, help transport the reader to another place. Well, a book arrived in my office recently with illustrations that were so vivid, so detailed, so realistic that even though I was sitting at my desk, I actually felt like I was up in the bleachers, sitting under a cloudless sky, watching ball players down in the field. Baseball players, Negro League baseball players. The book is called We Are the Ship, the story of Negro League baseball. It was illustrated by the award-winning artist Kadir Nelson, and it's Nelson's debut as an author. Nelson joins me now to talk about his book, a book that I understand was 8 years in the making?
Just about seven and a half, a little over seven and a half years.
Why so long?
It started off as a few paintings, and it grew into over 40 paintings. And with each painting, there's a tremendous amount of research to do just to make sure that everything is accurate.
How do you do the research for your paintings?
In the beginning, I read a number of books on the Negro Leagues. I also interviewed a number of former Negro League players, specifically a man by the name of Walt McCoy, who lives in San Diego, where I do. It helps a lot to hear the history directly from someone who lived it rather than reading it in a textbook.
You know, a lot of the players have very stern expressions. They look not necessarily mean, but they're all about business.
Yeah, here you have a group of men and women who were confronted with discrimination by way of a ban from Major League Baseball. And rather than give up, this group of individuals decided to create their own grand stage by which they could showcase their talents. And that grand stage became the Negro Baseball Leagues.
And it was a league without rules. They played rough ball.
They had a number of rules, but they really found ways around them. Base runners would slide into base with their cleats and spikes showing. They threw all types of pitches that were banned in the major leagues. But, I mean, you know, as a result of that, they learned how to hit everything. So by the time integration came, when Jackie Robinson crossed the color barrier in 1947, African-American ball players were prepared to hit anything and to play at that high level of play.
Now, I'm looking for a passage. The chapters are actually called innings. Mm-hmm. And there is an inning where you describe, it's the third inning, and you describe life in the Negro Leagues. And I was hoping that you could read a stretch of this for us.
Okay. It was a rough life. Ride, 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 and ride. Hilton Smith, pitcher. We played in a rough league. We had a number of really unsavory characters like Charleston or Judd Wilson to contend with, as well as pitchers who didn't have a problem throwing at us. But that was something we had accepted as part of the game. I think what made our time a bit harder than most is what we had to deal with in addition to that. White fans would call us names and throw stuff at us on the field, and we couldn't say a word. In some places we traveled to, we couldn't get a glass of water to drink, even if we had money to pay for it, and back then water was free. We did an awful lot of traveling, mostly in buses. They were nice buses to begin with, but they weren't the kind that were made for riding every day. We ran those poor buses ragged. Many a time we'd ride all day and night and arrive just in time to play a game. Then we'd get back on that hot bus and travel to the next town for another game, often without even being able to take a bath. And I gotta say, that cramped bus would get pretty ripe on some of those summer nights after a doubleheader. Phew. This was all season long. All of that traveling would wear on you.
There's a music in your voice when you read that passage that you don't necessarily hear in your speaking voice. Who is that man who's telling the story?
This man is the grandfather of all of us. But I have to say that when I was writing this manuscript, I was trying to talk in the voice of someone like Walt McCoy, who was my official consultant, but mostly in the voice of Buck O'Neill, who was a former player and manager in the Negro Leagues, and he became the first African-American coach in the major leagues. I didn't really consider myself a writer. But as I continued to work, I figured, you know, I think I can do this. I'll give it a shot. And it worked out.
I want to ask you about some of the pictures in the book. And I want to begin with a picture that is on page 27. It's Willie Foster and young fans, Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, circa 1932. He's standing, and he's so tall and powerful. He looks almost like a statue. Tell me about this picture.
Well, this painting was commissioned by the Negro League's Baseball Museum as part of their A Shades of Greatness exhibit. So you see Willie Foster standing. He's bracing himself on the bat with one hand in his pocket. He's very well dressed. He's surrounded by four children who are carrying his uniform roll, his cleats, and his glove. Back then, if a kid wanted to get free admission into a ball game, they would carry the player's belongings. And if you look behind him, then you'll see the environment there. And they're standing on Wiley Avenue in Pittsburgh during the Depression. And you have streetwise guys, and everyone's attention is on this group, specifically the African-American player. He dominates the position. The perspective is very low. You're looking up at him as if you were a child revering him. That's really what I aim to share in this image.
Kadir, how long does it take you to finish one of your paintings?
Well, that is a secret.
Oh, you can't tell me.
I'm just kidding. No,
oh,
I'm
okay.
Just kidding.
You're pulling my leg.
I'm pulling your leg. It varies from, some of them are very simple and they take maybe a week. Some may take 3 months. It really depends what it is. Many of these paintings in the book are rather large paintings, 6 feet wide. One is about 8 feet wide. Many of them are about 3 feet by 3 feet.
That title, where's that come from?
The title, We Are the Ship, comes from a quote by the founder of the Negro Leagues, Rube Foster. The full quote is, "We are the ship, all else the sea." And it was, in essence, the Declaration of Independence of the Negro Leagues from the Major Leagues, since they were banned from playing in the majors. The players and owners decided to create their own grand stage to showcase their talents. So I felt that it was appropriate to title this book, We Are the Ship, because this story is presented in the first person plural. We played baseball. This is how we lived, and this is what we did to enable African Americans and people of color to follow in our footsteps.
Kadir Nelson, it has been a pleasure to talk to you. All the best to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Kadir Nelson is the author and illustrator of We Are the Ship, the story of Negro League baseball. And you can see that fabulous painting of Willie Foster and his young fans at npr.org. There, you can also read more about life in the Negro Leagues.